where Westport comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. We're going to do a little bit of a zoom in on Milford, Connecticut right now with Mayor Ben Blake, who was elected 10 years ago or so at this extraordinarily young age of 20-something, some wunderkind. And Mayor Blake, you have been a lifelong Milforder, Milfordite, Milford resident. What do we call people in Milford?
Happy. Milford is a small city with a big heart is our official moniker, and we live up to that every day.
All right, so let me go right at it, because I'm hearing criticism, not merely today from a caller, but on other calls as well, that your housing policies are not in sync with the image that people that have grown up and loved Milford for so many years appreciated, and that too many neighborhoods are looking too discombobulated with postage stamp lots of affordable housing units being put here and there in multifamily places, and it just doesn't look good enough. So what do you have to say about that, Mayor?
You know, Milford is a desirable place to move to live in. One of the things I can tell you is that we've had a pretty steady development process over the last 50 years. In terms of the last 10 years, we've actually had a little bit of a dip. You know, you look at the census numbers, we had a pretty flat 10-year period where we have the same population that we had 10 years ago. The housing stock has not really adjusted that much, whereas in the early 2000s, the 90s, the 80s, there were big upswings. So we actually have leveled off for development, but there is concerns about affordable housing being able to bypass some of our local zoning regulations. And we did work hard as a city. You know, everybody came together, and we were able to achieve a moratorium. So the predatory developers that were able to circumvent, you know, prudent planning are no longer allowed to do that. And we've had that in place now for 2.5-3 years. So that's one of the things that we were able to achieve by, again, bringing all the community stakeholders together to make sure that that happens. So things are, again, doing, you know, in good shape in Milford. And one of the things that we've been able to kind of focus on is proper planning and proper housing.
Let's talk about that. 203-333-9422. So you probably are aware that Milford, along with every other community in Connecticut, has a short window of time to decide whether or not they want to opt out of the state superseding zoning that took place with respect to these ADUs, accessory dwelling units. And I reported earlier in the show that Wilton, along with Ridgefield and Greenwich and Westport, a number of other communities in Fairfield County, the various planning and zoning people, the volunteer people, are getting together to figure out what might be best for their own communities. What does Milford think about this? And have you been approached, or are you taking a proactive view on this one way or another?
So Milford is going through our 10-year plan. Our Planning and Zoning Board is right in the middle of that, and that's one of the items that they're considering, whether to opt in or opt out. So it's in front of our zoning folks. As you mentioned, they're a group of volunteers, but in Milford, you know, we've been wildly successful because we have so many people willing to step up, volunteer, and contribute, and have really that willingness to give back to the community.
But it has to be a consensus. So if it was placed in front of you, in other words, if a majority of the Planning and Zoning Board wanted to opt out of this new legislation, would you agree or sign on to that? Or do you have your own view that you think you shouldn't opt out?
I think that I'd have to take a look at it, but I would probably say that given the yes or no choice that you're presenting to me right now, we would opt out.
Okay. I think you ought to take a look at it because it can have a very significant incremental impact on every town and community, these ADUs.
But and again, we're doing it with a lot of due diligence. We're going through our 10-year plan right now, and that's one of the components of that master plan that we are looking to see how we can best develop Milford and plan for Milford's future and we're looking at all the ingredients to make sure that the final product is right.
We're talking with Mayor Ben Blake at 203-333-9422. I mean, I guess, you know, housing and housing development, commercial. I mean, Milford has its fair share of commercial as well. How many people live in Milford?
Milford has 55,000 people, but during the day that number swells because we have a big commercial corridor. We have a lot of people coming in to work in Milford. Milford, believe it or not, has a lot of manufacturing. I think Milford and Waterbury lead the state in terms of manufacturing, but we have a huge post road.
We have a
huge grant list because of that post road. And one of our success stories is the fact that we have increased year over year with new businesses moving into town, businesses that are setting up shop in Milford that have never been here before. Last year, 481 new businesses came to Milford. And,
it's
meant that we've been able to grow our grand list because of that commercial development. Milford has the largest grand list in New Haven County, one of the largest in the state of Connecticut, top 10.
Yeah.
But it's because we are, you know, very consistent. We have low taxes. The last 6 years in a row, we've had tax cuts, year after year after year, tax cuts. And I think that has inspired a lot of businesses to move to the small city with a big heart.
We are chatting with Mayor Ben Blake. Bill from Milford, you're on the air with your mayor. Go ahead, please.
What's for the housing on the Kmart Shopping Center? Is it going to be another cluster housing?
So I know that the Kmart Shopping Center, there is a proposal. There has been nothing that has been approved, no site plan that's been approved yet for that lot. That lot does need to be rejuvenated, however. What I think is absolutely going to happen is that the majority of the lot that has kind of run down commercial buildings, retail buildings, I do believe that whatever proposal is going to be there that the board is going to approve, the Planning and Zoning Board, is going to have a, you know, a new set of buildings, a new facade for that area, because, you know, it's an important critical piece to that commercial corridor, that section of Bridgeport Ave that people go down, and it's really the entrance to the village of Devon.
Let me ask you something. Thank you, Bill. Let me ask you something, Mayor. How do you see your role as mayor when it comes to exactly that kind of question? In other words, do you think that it is your role to be involved with these decisions that transform the landscape, or is it exclusively the role of the zoning people? How do you see your role?
So I have tried to be a champion for bringing new businesses in. I'm very protective of our commercial corridor to stay as a commercial corridor. You know, 200 years ago, our forefathers kind of had a separate Route 1. At one point, Route 1 went all the way through downtown Milford, and it was shifted over about a quarter of a mile north. And I think that's made all the difference. It's given us a good tax base, and it's allowed the rest of Milford to thrive. And whenever anyone talks about shifting from that commercial corridor to residential or to another type of zoning, I am quick to speak up and make my intentions known, because I think that that's so important for the success of Milford, is to have and to protect that commercial corridor while allowing the rest of Milford to, you know, be a quaint, charming New England village. And that's something that I think has served us well over the, you know, the last many decades and centuries.
We're talking with Mayor Ben Blake. I wanted to let you know something, Mayor. This is my own little personal campaign, which is for the birds, so to speak. We've had many billions of birds, it's hard to believe, disappear from the world. I don't know if you know, the North America has lost 3 billion birds in the last 40, 50 years. And a leading cause of all of these birds every single year that are dying is nightlights. And there is a movement to try and help our skies stay the right amount of darkness so that we don't trip up all of these millions of birds, which tend to migrate at night for their own instinct reasons, to avoid prey, etc. And we do that if we can lessen the amount of light in our skies at night. It seems to me, I don't know if you've ever given any thought to this, but it seems to me that our commercial corridors are a very obvious low-hanging fruit place where we can decrease the amount of light that goes into the night sky. And I was wondering if you've given any thought to that as a new restriction, an ordinance, or a condition of new commercial development, that there be less lighting, or that the lighting be more downward, or that it go off from 12 to 5, something like that.
So we have looked at that when we relamped our streetlights, and, you know, not just around the commercial corridor, but, you know, on all of our 1,200 city streets, we have Cobra headlights that we partner with UI, and we have transformed all of the lights to LED, a huge cost savings for the city, a $500,000 cost savings a year when we relamped. And we had the option of going to the 4,000 Kelvin lights, which is a very bright white that has had reports that, again, it does impact some wildlife, or opting for the 3,000 Kelvin light, which is a softer, warmer light. And the city opted for the softer, warmer for the vast majority of our town.
Does it stay on all night? Does it stay on
24/7? There are some areas. It depends. There are some areas for safety reasons that it needs to. Again, the job of mayor, we have a lot of different irons in the fire. There's things that we have to consider for public safety. We have to consider our environment. We have to consider costs. So, you know, I cannot just look through a single lens. I have to look through all of the different components of what they impact. And there are some areas where lights are critical to public safety. And for those specific areas, they may have to stay on all night. There are other areas where we do not need the lights to be on 24 hours a day or during the nighttime hours. And those lights do go off. But again, it's not just a yes or no answer for that one. It's specific to the area that they're lighting.
Yeah, no, I realize that. And I know that when you're mayor, you have to be considering of a lot of things. What galls me, and I appreciate that Milford's addressed this, what galls me is when I see these big commercial buildings that look lit up from the inside out and no one's in them. Like, I always say, what is that about? Like, what are you trying to prove? And what are you wasting? And what kind of distraction are you providing for birds that are just going to get completely knocked off course? So, look, I know that you have to balance a lot of constituencies. I'm speaking for the birds because they don't speak English.
No, I appreciate that. Somebody has to speak up for the birds. And, you know, there's a lot of other lighting concerns that we do at a micro level. You know, for example, we have relamped all of our – actually, we just recently relamped all of our ball fields and our tennis courts and our pickleball courts for nighttime use. And those do not stay on all – night long like
Good.
They used to. Those
Good.
Actually, you have to push a button, and after
Good.
30 minutes, they go off
they
unless
go
you push
off.
The button again.
That's
so
what it should be.
The...
That's so... what it should be. Yep. That's good. That's good. That's good, Mayor Blake. You're thinking about that. So you've been mayor a long time, like 10 years, right?
Longer than some, less than others, yeah. I was first elected back in 2011, so a little over 10 years ago.
And it's two-year terms or four-year terms? What are you, two-year terms?
Two-year terms, but it is something that is different every hour of every day. And at the end of the day, you know, the good certainly outweighs the bad. Even if the complaint pile on my desk is higher than the compliment pile, certainly there's good at the end of each day.
Well, it's no question that you adore your city. I mean, you love your town. Otherwise, you wouldn't be devoting your life to it. Do you want to stay mayor for a long time?
I think about that every day. It is a job I love. I think it is the best job on earth, and it is something that in my wildest dreams and nightmares did I not think I would be addressing some of the issues. But, you know, it does take its toll because, as I mentioned, you know, there are folks that think I have a magic wand, which I don't. Some of the things that I would like to fix, there's a lot of hoops and hurdles, state regulations, federal roadblocks that I get put up against. So I don't have that magic wand, but I'm still waiting to find it.
Well, I think the more that you center on my own personal opinion, this is my bias, my own bias, the more that local people control their local cities and towns, usually, not always, but usually the better outcome. Because it's the local people on the ground who have a sense of the history of a place and what the people who live there and invested in there really want for their communities.
Well, I've, born here, and I now have a lot of skin in the game because I've got three little kids that I have to make sure that Milford is, the place that I grew up. I want it to be the place that, they're going to experience throughout their lives, too, in all of our communities' children.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the Milford I want it to be.
Thank you. Mayor Ben Blank, thanks for joining us today. Much appreciated.
Take care. Be well.
Thanks for coming on. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.